This is Darren Kuhn with the Masculine Journey podcast, where we search the ancient paths to find ways that God brings light into a dark world and helps set men free from the struggles that we all face on a day-to-day basis. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Get ready. It's one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. An apologist, Christian political advocate, and author. Here is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes.
Hello and welcome to Christian Perspective. This is Chris Hughes, and I'm here today with my favorite co-host, Connie Albers, and we are talking about family issues. It's Family Friday, and we are sure glad that you've joined us on a Christian Perspective today. I want to thank Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary for letting us use their facilities and having our studios right here on their beautiful campus in Memphis, Tennessee. If you're looking for a school to attend in the fall, I encourage you to check out the College of Mid-America and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. You can learn more at mabts.edu. That is mabts.edu. And, of course, we want to thank the Citizens for America Foundation for being our primary host of this radio show. You can learn more about Citizens for America at citizensforamericafoundation.com. Connie, I'm so excited that you're here today. You've had your first full week as a grandmother. How's it feel?
Oh, my goodness. You just can't get enough of them. They're just perfect. And I will tell you, it is true. You kind of like get all of the joy without like any of the late nights and fussiness. You just hand them back to mom.
That makes it nice. And as he gets older, then you can spoil them real bad. And I've heard all these horror stories of grandmothers sugaring up their kids, their grandkids, send them back to their kids and kind of pay back for years ago. But I'm sure you and Tom would never do anything like that.
We may have other things up our, you know, in mind. But I remember my mom did that. She'd have, you know, donuts for breakfast and donuts for lunch and donuts for dinner. And they'd come back to me and I'd have to, you know, let them get off of all that detox from sugar. But it's really remarkable. I will say, and we'll take a second on this, it's interesting when you listen to grandparents talk about their experience. And, you know, maybe one day we'll do a show about that. But I have to be really careful because I don't want to get put in grandma jail by doing anything I shouldn't do or posting something I shouldn't post. So it's like you got to learn a whole bunch of new like rules. What's okay today and what's okay with the parents. So it's really interesting.
I hadn't thought about the posting rules. I know Vicki and I have been talking about, and neither so none of my kids are married and or engaged or anything like that. But we've been trying to. I'm giving away strategies here. Look at strategies, Connie, where we would be the cool grandparents. You know, what can we do to make our place more appealing and make the grandkids want to come see us at summer and vacations? And, you know, I've tried to talk Vicki into buying farms and ponies and dogs and cats and anything to be tricky to try to, you know, when the time comes, make the grandkids want to come to our house instead of the other grandparents' house. That's terrible.
No, I mean, we already established this at our home. It's called Camp Albers. And we did this with our nieces and nephew. And primarily, we established Camp Albers because we wanted to be light. And we wanted to teach our children, our nieces and nephews about the Lord and just what it means to have a relationship with their cousins. And they love it to this day. I mean, now my nephew has not grown children, but my nephew has kids. And he texts me often, say, hey, when can my kids come to Camp Albers? It is the funnest thing. And I look forward to all the cousins coming to Camp Albers and hanging out with us. I don't know how we'll do, but I'm sure it's going to be fun because we're like you thinking about it. What do we want to create? Yeah.
Yes, it's good practice.
I don't know that we're going to buy ponies, but we'll send them to your place.
I was terrible. I want to get to something important in a minute, but I'm going to get in bad trouble with this. Just when my kids were young, I would throw these lavish birthday parties, and now they don't even remember them, but would rent like ponies and carriages. And I even we owned our own bouncy castles because it was cheaper. You know, if you used them in 2 years, it was cheaper than renting one from some other company. And those were the days when I did stupid things and the kids don't even remember it now.
Oh, I bet they do. I'll tell you one year for my daughter's 13th birthday, I created an amazing race. Now this is back and dates me a little bit. My The Amazing Race was a television sitcom that was on like a reality show, and they would send people all over the place, and they had to discover these, you know, cues, and then it would take them to their next place. Well, I couldn't afford to send all these people around the world, but I created this Amazing Race, and they had teams and colors, and it was boats and bicycles and shop owners. And I asked my daughter about it recently, if she remembered that from her childhood. And she goes, yeah, that's one of my best family memories. And I would thought, well, why don't you ever talk about it? And she goes, well, there's no reason to. It's tucked away in my mind of what I'll do with my kids one day. So there you go.
Now I'm going to steal that one too somewhere down. I put the grandkids for the Amazing Race.
Oh, we had a ball.
Our economy is pretty scary right now. And I heard a report on Fox News just this morning where a host was talking about, you know, the stress that the economy is causing and how we as parents have to be, and it kind of stepped on my toes, how we as parents need to be careful because we can allow that stress to filter through, you know, and how we react with our spouses and our children and grandchildren and everything else. It's a stressful time for our country right now. But in this economy, how can we help our kids learn through what's going on in the economy right now? So I'll share a story, and I'll be in trouble. Hopefully he won't listen. But my son is doing an internship during the summer in between college right now. And every day when we talk, you know, money, I don't know if it's the news or what's getting to him, but the economy, I mean, he's only 18 years old, but the economy's on his mind every day. You know, Dad, I'm not going to make enough to be able to eat what I want to eat, or, you know, how am I going to buy gas to get to work? And so it's not something that's just affecting adults, but it affects our kids as well. How do we prepare our kids for this economic situation that we're in? And, you know, it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon, Connie. It's just going to get worse, I'm afraid.
I think you're right. And I think you're wise to notice that he's not even that old. He's still, you know, a teen, and he's thinking about his future. And, you know, I'm reading so much and listening to these young people and these kids. They are very aware, and largely, Chris, because of social media. They're in real time, they're learning what people are saying and feeling, and they're absorbing that stress and anxiety. And then, of course, when they ask mom and dad, can we go to the beach, or can we go here? No, we can't. We can't afford the gas. I think the first most important thing is what you said. Pay attention, listen, and turn off the news. I mean, turn it off, turn it down. Listen to it at night when you're getting ready to go to bed or something. Don't have it in the background all day long. Don't be your white noise in your home. That stresses them out, because their future, Chris, you know, they're looking at, like your son said, how am I going to be able to afford life? They're calculating, how much money do I have? If I have $5, that's going to get me 1 gallon of gas, half a gallon if you live in California. But it'll get you a gallon of gas. How far will that get me? Maybe 20 miles, maybe 22 miles, depending, and unless they have a little moped or something. Chris, we have to start paying attention to what we are saying, and then help our children become problem solvers and be very creative on what they can do to make it happen for their life. It's not bleak. When economy crashes, when inflation rises, when all that happens, there's still opportunity. It's just, we get to help them see how to think past doom and gloom. I'll never achieve, no matter how much I make. We get to help them see, no. Look over in this direction. Wherever the carrot's dangling, look in the opposite direction, because there's opportunity over there.
Yeah. And, you know, even little things I've noticed with my kids right now is, like, you know, there's a new movie. Well, it's not so new now. It's been out for a week or so. But the Top Gun movie. And, you know, I was telling my son and my daughter, hey, y'all ought to go see the Top Gun. But, you know, on their minds is worrying about, and I hate to see, you know, I just hate to see the stress being put on our young people over worrying about money, but the economy is just so bad now. It's really scary that every little thing you have to think about, you know, when the cost of chicken or even a loaf of bread, you know, some grocery items have doubled and tripled over the last year, and it's pretty scary.
You know, I went to buy peanut butter. I went to the grocery store for my kids that just had a baby, and I thought, you know, that's one way I can bless them. So I went grocery shopping and had my daughter-in-law give me a list. And so I went and was looking for the stuff. I was shocked at some of the staples that they consider like basic staples for their home, peanut butter. The shelves were pretty much bare. And I had to be mindful of, okay, this is what they're seeing and feeling, and how can we come alongside them and bless them? So for me, Chris, it was just something simple as, this is one small tangible thing I can do to alleviate a stress or a pain that you're feeling whether it's your college kids or your high schoolers, there's little tangible things that we can do that alleviate some of that stress. And how we talk is huge. I mean, if we're always worried and frantic and talking, you know, naysaying and doom and gloom, our kids are going to feel that too. And so I'm a firm believer in be truthful. Yes, the economy is really bad right now, and I don't think it's going to get better. In fact, I think, you know, as you were watching that report, I think it's going to get worse as we get closer towards July. But how we phrase our words and how we communicate to our kids gives them hope or makes them feel depressed or anxiety ridden. And we don't want that, because God tells us, you know, don't be anxious. God is a God of abundance and not a God of scarcity. So while there may be scarcity in our economy, that God still can trump all of that and provide, because he is a God that provides for our needs.
And I like what you said, how we have to be careful what we say. That's a conversation Vicki and I have had several times over the last few weeks, is, again, Connie, I always get in trouble with you on the radio. I share these family stories, but Vicki grew up in a very poor home. And so money is always on her mind, as it is a lot of people. I'm not saying it's not on my mind, but it's on her mind a lot more than it's on mine. And she, you know, gets concerned and worries about things. And I told her the other day, you know, we cannot be talking about this in front of our kids, because they're concerned enough already. You know, they're not in any real danger, you know, compared to the rest of the world. We're, you know, most of the world in the United States, we're very blessed, even though our economy is hurting right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have to be careful, because I've noticed in the last few weeks, and, you know, I'd been on the road a lot leading up to our culture engagement summit. And, you know, when I came home, went grocery shopping, I was shocked at how much I had not bought groceries, because I'd been on the road for like 3 months. And I was shocked at how much more expensive groceries were. But I realized when Vicki and I were talking about it, and the kids heard us talking about it, it affected them in a way that I'd never really seen before, where I think it's good to be concerned and be wise with your money, but, you know, you don't want to take it to the extreme either. Why don't we take a quick break, Connie? Maybe when we come back, I don't know if you have any budget tips or things that we can do to teach our kids during this difficult time to help them be a little more wise with their spending. So you think about that, and we'll take this quick commercial break. Y'all, we're talking with Connie Albers. It's Family Friday, and we're talking about how the economy is affecting our children and our families. Stick around. I'll be right back.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org. And even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see the Bible come to life. This December, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, on a life-changing trip to Israel. It's one of the world's oldest and most fascinating travel destinations, luring the faithful from all over the world for thousands of years. Visit Jerusalem's religious quarters and explore Christianity's most treasured religious sites, like the Wailing Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and the Via Dolorosa. Walk with Chris through the winding alleyways of Nazareth's Old City and visit ancient Bethlehem, the place of our Savior's birth. Float in the Dead Sea, visit the Sea of Galilee, and the Jewish fortress of Masada. See firsthand where the events of the Bible took place. Touring Israel with Dr. Chris Hughes is a travel odyssey like no other. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com and get ready for an unforgettable trip and memories that will last a lifetime.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland, graduated its first class on this day, June 10, 1854. The Academy was established under the direction of George Bancroft, Secretary of Navy under President James Polk. Bancroft was also known as the father of American history. having written the first comprehensive history of the U.S. He wrote that the divine being should be known not as a distant providence, but as God present in the flesh, amid the sorrows protracted during centuries, carried peace into the bosom of humanity.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to Christian Perspective. I'm Chris Hughes. Connie Albers is here with me today, as she is every Friday. And we always talk about issues that are addressing the family, and we're talking today about the economy. It's a scary time, as gasoline in some places is over $6 a gallon, and reports that it could be over $10 a gallon by the end of the summer. And the cupboards in the grocery store sometimes are bare, or things are a lot more expensive than they used to be. And sure, that's something we think about as parents, but as kids, it's affecting our kids too. And you know, I shared a story in the first segment about my teenage son, but even younger kids, I think it's starting to affect people. So Connie, what can we do to, I know you shared, we need to be careful how much we talk about or look at how scared we are in front of our kids about the economy, but what are some things that we might can do to teach them to manage money? And I mean, can we take this bad situation, maybe turn it to a learning situation of how they can budget money, save money, tithe, and those kind of things down the line?
Oh, I love that. You know, money is the one thing we don't talk enough about. We often talk about how we don't have enough of it, but no matter how much you have, it seems like there's never enough because we always live to the level of what we have. So talking about money as if it is just a normal part of our life, there's things we can do. Teach our children about a power bill. I mean, people don't think about showing your children, I mean, if they're elementary age, they're not going to understand it. But let's just break it into compartments, Chris. If you have elementary age children, something as simple as saying, talking to your children, saying, when we leave a room, we turn off the light. Why, mommy? Because children are full of, and you remember this, why? Children learn by getting answers to their questions. And when we freely talk about money, why do we turn off the light? Well, because it helps us save on energy. Energy is something we buy from companies. And if we spend money lighting a room that doesn't need to be lit because the windows, lights coming through the window, or nobody's using that room, it helps us save money so we can go on vacation, or we can get ice cream, or we can go on a date and see, you know, a movie together. And then they connect in a positive way. My actions have an outcome of a positive experience, right? And if they're middle school, take them a little further. We have to buy our energy from a power company. A power company charges X amount of dollars per wattage. Teach your children those fundamental basic skills that, to be honest, Chris, most kids have no idea about wattage and usage, and if you're using a 60-watt light bulb or a 40-watt light bulb, or you're using the three-way dimmer light. Most children don't even realize that. And they get to college or they buy their first house, and then they end up with a shock. Well, why don't we just start now? This is a great time. So middle schoolers, teach them about wattage and usage, and then show them how it applies. The more we reduce, again, bring it back to the application. The more we reduce, the more we save. The more we save, the more we can splurge on making your favorite dinner or doing something fun over the summer holiday. When you get to high schoolers, make it even more tangible. Put it in a chart or a graph. This may sound strange. It probably does, but I'm married to an engineer and he calculates our wattage so we can see year over year, are we using more or less energy? Now, when we had 7 people living in the home, our energy usage was higher. And so we've been able, as our kids got older, to show them the decrease, or there should be, and then how much we're paying per wattage. And our kids see that when they get into their home, move out, go to college, we've already instilled wise money management strategies from something as simple as a light bill or a water bill or a natural gas, whatever it is that you use. Those are some tangible, applicable ways that our kids understand it's a money game. It's money. We spend money over here or we spend money over there. Where would you like to spend the money? Raising the thermostat in your home, 2 degrees. How much money will that save? And it becomes a game. Some children would rather sweat so they can save more money and be able to go on a fun dinner night. I mean, it's amazing what comes out when your children start to learn my actions have a direct impact on future comfort or if we save this amount of money, I may be able to go to the school of my choice, or I may be able to do this particular thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, as you were talking about Tom, I was picturing my father, because this was a real thing. Matter of fact, my mother told me he was doing it a couple of days ago. But I remember when I was growing up, and I used to think it was so crazy, didn't really understand why. So for those of you that may not know, there's a meter on the outside of your house that shows how much electricity is being used in your house. And my father would go out on a regular basis, and I bet from hearing Tom, because I think your husband Tom and my father are a lot alike, my dad would go out and he would check that meter, you know, to see how much electricity we would use in a week, in a month, and that kind of thing, to try to find ways to save money. Another thing that I just thought was crazy until I became an adult is I remember my parents used to get so mad at me because I would turn on the faucet for water to brush my teeth, and I would leave the water running the entire time that I was brushing my teeth. And I used to stay in trouble with that. And that was one of my parents' major rules is, you know, you wet your toothbrush and then you turn that water off until you get ready to rinse your mouth. You know, don't just waste, you know, gallons and gallons, because that adds up.
But as a kid, you
don't think about it. Go ahead and finish. I was just going to say, now I live in the mountains and we don't have city water. I have a pump, a well. Mm-hmm. And so now I can have all the water I want.
I love what you just said. And now let's apply that in another way. If we're not careful, we can make our children fearful or overreact and become so miserly or so self-aware of that simple things like running water becomes like this coveted, I want to get to a place in my life where as an adult, I can run the water all day long and take a bath without worrying about how much water usage. We don't want to make our children anxiety filled over what we're trying to teach them. So there is a balance, but being aware, Chris, of how we're using our money now, I mean, there's a lot we can learn from our parents. When they went through hard times like the Carter years, we had to be very, I mean, I was young, but we had to be very, or they had to be very careful. Even if they had to run three errands, they wouldn't run one errand and go home, and then 30 minutes later run another errand. They'd be very strategic. Okay, I'm going to make a list. I'm going to go here and here and here and here. And that way I'll be more cost effective in the trips that I do have to run and get everything done. So they're learning time management and they're learning wise stewardship with their dollars. So when we teach them, whether it's electricity or water, we don't want to be overreactive, but we want to be like a teacher. A teacher teaches information that our children don't know. And when they learn that knowledge, that information, it becomes something that'll help govern them as they save up to buy a home, as they lead a family and support their own families one day. So it's a good thing. Playing the game of life is another good one, you know, where they start learning that money is something that we earned that comes in and that we make wise investments. And, you know, God willing, there's compound interest on our investments and that there's passive and active income. Chris, kids aren't being taught this in school. They're just not. They may take one semester of economics or microeconomics or macroeconomics, but to really become a master, to really learn how to use money well and wisely so we can give generously, give to the kingdom, give to others in need, that means that we have to learn how to live under our means. And a parent who does that now in this season, I believe, is equipping your children and your grandchildren to live a more generous life later.
And I think we're becoming more and more aware of that. I'm just sitting here thinking of ways that we've been wasteful in our family. I remember my grandparents, I'm really dating myself here, you know, they grew up in the Depression, and there are still a few of those people, not many, you know, floating around. And it was a different mindset for them because they knew what it was to, and I don't mean my grandparents, I mean the whole country, I knew what it was like at that time to worry about what was going on in the economy. But even in her older years, and they didn't have to worry about money anymore, but I remember my grandmother would wash aluminum foil, Connie, or Ziploc bags. I go through Ziploc bags like it's throwing away candy, and she would wash her Ziploc bags and reuse them over and over again. And that's something that a lot of people don't even think about today, but that got instilled in her as a little girl when they were poor in the Depression, you know, and so they always watched and they reused things even when they were older, and they were fairly wealthy by the time they passed away. But they got that wealth not because they had super great paying jobs or anything, but just because they were frugal and wise with what they did over the years.
you know, just what you said there, they built their wealth. We can't, Chris, we have to teach our children. We can't rely on a government to afford our life. If they do, we'll live below poverty, because we have to build that. We have to build that wealth. And that means being creative, being innovative, looking for areas in the market where there is not a product or service that has been developed. You know, artificial intelligence is replacing many, many jobs. And I believe it's going to continue as these entry-level positions get replaced by, you know, technology, robotics, you know, smart machines, you know, things like that. As you know, because you're familiar with that, as that starts to get, as those jobs start to be replaced, our kids are actually poised in a great place to come up with something that has never been designed or created before. And we have to be thinking and helping our children. Listen, we have to build our wealth. We have to manage our money. We have to be creative, look for ways to be inventive, innovators, come up, you know, one of our listeners could be the next Elon Musk or the next Jeff Bezos, because trying times always lead, disruptions always lead to phenomenal innovations, always. And so this is a disruption. Now, for some, it's breaking them. They're financially not able to make it. They're moving back with their parents. They're selling everything they have. They're living in an RV because they have to, not because it's a luxury thing. It's not like they have the top of the line. So we want to be cognizant of the fact there's a lot of people suffering, and they're making the decision. We can't go get our teeth cleaned. We have to go to the clinic and go to where students are learning how to be a dental hygienist, and we're going to pay $5 instead of $55. That's not bad. That's teaching our children to be aware there's alternative ways to be able to take care of yourself from a health standpoint, feed yourself by getting to know local farmers, local growers, going to your farmer's market. That saves a lot of money, and it doesn't take much time. But you know what it does take? It just takes, Chris, strategic. It just takes some paying attention and thinking ahead.
It really does. Folks, we're talking today about the economy, and it's a stressful time right now. What we can do to help our kids not be as stressed out during this difficult time. We're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about it. And I want to talk a little bit about how we can prepare our college kids. Since I'm living that, Connie, I'm going to take advantage of your wise advice consulting, and you can help me out through that. Y'all stick around. Be right back.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the founding fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
The Conservative Baptist Network is a dynamic movement of Southern Baptist pastors, churches, and Christians committed to standing for the sufficiency of God's Word in the face of a culture of compromise. The passion and prayer of the Conservative Baptist Network is that God would help Southern Baptists stay bold for the gospel so that we might see revival in America and the world reached for Christ. Visit our website today at conservativebaptistnetwork.com to learn how you and your church can join and support this exciting movement.
Welcome back to Christian Perspective. I'm Chris Hughes. Connie Albers and I today are talking about the economy. You know, it's so scary right now with the price of gas and fuel and bread and milk and everything else getting so expensive, and in some cases doubling in price from just a year ago. And it, it's stressful for us as parents, and we need to be careful how we let that stress come out in our families, with our spouses, and with our kids. Connie, you know, because I've shared with you that, you know, both of my kids are in college now, and we're kind of living some of the things that you're talking about. And I've watched with interest, like my daughter is getting ready to move to another town to start medical school in the fall. So we've been in the last couple of weeks trying to find her, help her find a place to live. And it's been eye-opening for her because, you know, she's now realizing, well, what's a security deposit and what's a pet deposit and why do I have to pay first and last month's rent? And I didn't realize you had to pay a deposit when you turned on your water and power, and you got to call in the garbage, and so many things that Vicki and I realized, you know, we had not probably properly prepared her in her mind to be ready for a lot of these expenses that adults have that kids never think about. So what can we do, Connie, to help better prepare our kids in this difficult economy, but, you know, things that they would have to pay for anyway, they're just more expensive now?
Well, you've said it several times, Chris, you and your wife, Vicki, you have conversations, you talk about it, you're noticing, oh, we probably didn't do a very good job of this. It's never too late to come alongside your kids and say, hey, you know, you've lived with mom and dad. There are things we haven't really talked about just because we're doing life, we're paying the bills, and you know, we either never thought about it or you didn't need to know. But now all of a sudden you're having a rude awakening to how expensive, how much taxes we actually pay. And our kids become indignant. We're paying that? Are you crazy? Who voted for that or who approved for that? But Chris, starting the conversation, if you can, before your kids get to college is so helpful. But when they get to college, be available. Be available for them to ask you those questions and never marginalize them or say, well, yeah, don't you know that? Don't marginalize them. Don't make them feel like they should have known something. Remember, the schools aren't teaching our children how to manage money or be wise with money or make money. I mean, they teach our children how to work a job and get paid an hourly wage. And that's not really equipping them for building wealth. That's an industrial type of mindset. So when you're talking about your daughter, I remember, Chris, there was a season we had our kids in college for 11 consecutive years, and 9.5 of those years, we had 2 or 3 in college at the same time. We didn't have college prepay. Our children had academic scholarships, but they all graduated, Chris, with no loans and no student debt. And we had a strategy. We, you know, spreadsheets were our friend back then. But Chris, just talking to your kids about what are some ways that they can shop for apartments? Ask, negotiate. Negotiate rent. Negotiate location. Everything in many ways except taxes. Taxes are non-negotiable, but many things are negotiable. So teach your children not to be afraid to ask questions. Tell me why. Go back to that time when they were little. Why, Daddy? Why? Why? And as your daughter comes to you, Mom, Dad, why do I have to pay first and last month's deposit? Well, honestly, that is even somewhat negotiable. Ask, can I pay the first and last month's deposit in blocks? Do I have to have it all up front? Can you work with me on this? Power bills, anything that's power, water related, unfortunately, we usually can't. But talking to them, listening, and explaining the why behind it. Does that make sense, Chris? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I think that's something that's different, I think, Connie, for the current generation than our generation. There's very much, I don't know if it's because of social media or what, but I think younger people today are very worried about what other people think, and they don't realize that you can negotiate, or argue is probably not the right term, but, you know, that a price is negotiable because it's a business. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of kids that I've noticed in our generation today, you know, if a house is for a certain sales price or rent is a certain amount. And again, like you said, it's different with government and utilities. They're not negotiable, but this has been a learning process for my daughter because, you know, we've looked at these different apartments that are for rent for her. And I told her, you know, she's like, well, that's out of my budget. I'm like, well, don't, you know, you don't just walk away from it because it's out of your budget. Offer them something less. And she's like, you know, they're not going to take anything less. I'm like, yeah, they might. You don't know how long it's been on the market. I mean, there's things. So it's been a good teaching, you know, opportunity. I mean, if a house is on the market for a longer period of time, or people might need to be, they're moving, they don't want to pay 2 house payments at one time, or, you know, it's been vacant and not been rented for a while, there are opportunities to negotiate, as you're saying, you know, they can always say no, but they might say yes. And sometimes you get lucky and they do
beautiful.
Say yes.
You have to remember, too, when we're teaching our children that they're in the business of making money. They have probably bills they have to pay. I mean, they're not in the business of just renting properties for their cost. They want to make money. And the other thing, Chris, that we need to talk to our kids about is leverage the fact that they're going to be good tenants. They're going to pay their bills on time. During the pandemic, all of ours were living out on their own, and they never defaulted on their rent, never. And that made the tenants do a little more for them. When something broke, they would fix it quicker because they wanted to keep them. They knew they were taking care of their investment. So kind of elaborating on your point there with your daughter, if they see, oh, she's you know, a studious person, she's, you know, working her way through college, she's not going to be having these wild parties and destroy the faucets, or, you know, not saying that those things do happen, and it does make renters or landlords, it makes them cautious. But if they have a young family, or they have a student that they know that they can see, because you have to go through the whole interview process, they're more likely, because they know they can trust you with their investment. That's a big factor. I know when our kids were recently, we went to look at a property for our kids that's pretty much you got to tear it down to the shell and start all over. And we were talking with the general contractor. Again, even that was, well, what do you think it'll cost? And he gave us a ballpark. And I said, could you sharpen your pencil? Not, we're going to undercut you, but what could you cut cost on? What kind of breaks could you do? So setting in a budget, like you said with your daughter, you have her have a budget. This is how much either mom and dad can give you if to go towards your room and board while you're in college. This is your budget. Then let them work with those real numbers and come back and ask you, this is what I have. This won't work. Instead of, oh, mom, dad, I just need more money. No, we're not just going to give you more money. We're going to help you learn how to manage the money that you do have so that when you are on your own and off our payroll, you'll have the skills needed to master the art of living within your means, saving, tithing, being generous to others. But they have to be taught those skills. They don't get them by osmosis.
Connie, you mentioned savings and tithing, which is something we haven't talked about yet today. When you travel around the country, speak or with your kids, mm-hmm. do you recommend a certain percentage? And so, you know, if you're listening, you know, when we say the word tithing, you don't know what that means. As Christians, you're generally encouraged to give 10% of your income, which is called a tithe, to the church. Mm-hmm. But we also should be giving money to charity and other things as well. And that comes into proper budgeting when we realize how much money we're making. And so like with going back to my son, you know, he's getting mm-hmm. X amount a week as we do, you know, whether we work at McDonald's or whether you own IBM, you're getting a set income and you need to have a budget and you need to live, as you said, with your kids, teach them to live within the means, not just keep coming back to mom and dad for money. But do we need to set aside a certain amount? Is it important to save for an emergency? Like my son had a flat tire yesterday and he called me, you know, what to do. I'm like, well, you know, this is why you need to save money because it's going to cost money to buy a new tire, you know, those kind of things. And do we need to set aside not just for tithing, but an amount that maybe we want to give to charity or other causes as well? Do you have any recommendations on that?
You know, I do. And I love that you talked on that. I mean, I have to give a plug for, if we have to take this out, you can edit out. I have to give a plug for Dave Ramsey. I love his financial piece. That's great for young people because it's not mom and dad saying it. It's not that our kids don't listen to us, but when somebody else who has built enormous wealth or has actually done it says and reiterates what mom and dad have said, somehow it kind of sinks in a little deeper. But any type of course that your kids can go through that teaches them how to manage, how to create a budget and what percentage of your budget should go to what, it reinforces the idea that money is just another part of our life that we need to manage and understand. We have a dollar. We can't spend a dollar 10. That's what too many people do. You have a dollar. You need to spend, you know, 70 cents of it or 80 cents of it. But what I see young people doing, and actually even adults, is the first time they get in a money crunch, the first thing to go is giving, supporting charitable causes, the 501c3s or 4s that people are so passionate about, the the church that needs the giving that we are supposed to. It's a biblical mandate. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you have an abundance, then you give. No, that's the first thing that we do. So, yes, we taught our kids, when you earn money, whether you're pulling weeds for a neighbor or you've got that internship position, the first that God gets the first fruit, because God is a God of abundance. God is God is not a God of scarcity. We don't give him from our leftovers. He doesn't. The church, the body of Christ, does not get what we have left. He gets what we bring in first. And for some, it may be 10%. It may be a little less. I don't want people to be legalistic about it, because sometimes you can run into hard times. But I believe there's a direct correlation, Chris. When you give generously, when you sow generously into the lives of others, into the church, into charitable organizations, God's economy is just not ours. And we teach those our kids those principles, it stays with them for life. And I have oftentimes had my kids come back, who are all now adults and, you know, on their own, and they'll come back to me and say, you know, I cut back on my giving because we were trying to sock away more money to be able to buy a house. And I noticed we weren't able to put away as much as we were when we were giving regularly. I'm like, well, what do you think you need to do? I don't need to solve your problem. What do you think you need to do? We need to get back to giving.
That's important advice. Kai, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, well, what can we teach our kids to do if they're not happy with their economic environment. Y'all, you're listening to Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes and Connie Albers. We'll be right back with more on the economy and how we can help our kids prepare for what's coming.
A brand is a design, name, symbol, or any other feature that sets an organization or individual apart. Bringing that brand to life can be difficult, but Diggs Design is here to help you take that next step or re-energize your current situation.
We can handle logos, social media graphics, cards, weddings, clothing, prints, photo editing, and much more. Give us a call today at 704-984-2432 or connect with Diggs Design on social media.
In a world crowded with viewpoints and voices.
Critical condition after a...
I believe the message of this...
Financial problems.
Only one voice matters. God's. At the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Seminary, we equip leaders to think from a biblical worldview. Online or on our Memphis campus. Check out the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary at mabts.edu and be equipped to light the way.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for four amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the founding fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
Welcome back to Christian Perspective. I'm Chris Hughes.
Connie Albers and I are today are talking about the economy and how we need to be careful as parents to not let the stress of the economy show through where it's affecting our relationship with our spouses and particularly with our children. We've been talking about how to teach our kids to budget. That is so important to know that, you know, you only have a certain amount of money coming in and you have to use that money wisely in order to pay for the expenses that you have. And sometimes you can't do the luxurious things that you might want to do because you don't have the money to do them. Connie, this is an election year, and I'm always careful or try to be careful. You probably think I'm not careful enough when you're on the show to not get into the world of politics too much. But I would like to talk about the process. I'm not talking about candidates or a particular elected official or political party. But if we don't like what's going on in our economy, do you think we should also teach our kids about elections, the election process, and that elections have consequences and what they can do about it?
Absolutely. And I think whether you like who's in office or not, I think that's part of our civic duty as citizens of America. I think we have to teach our children to not be afraid to get in the political process. That could be through donating to a candidate of your choice, doing some research and finding out, like, who are these judges that we're going to be putting in positions that make very critical decisions that impact their daily lives. Remember we talked about, I think it was the first segment, that, you know, we need to teach our kids that what they do, the application of those decisions. So, you know, there is a trend with young people to, I don't want to get in politics. I don't want to talk about politics. Well, we've seen how in 2 short years or a year and a half, how their gas prices went from $2 to $4, $5, $6. And that is a direct result of people's either not being involved in the political process or not thinking that it mattered too much or thinking, it's not going to impact me. I think every American knows that that is not true because we are seeing that. So now with the midterms coming, whether your kids are elementary age and they stand and they hold a sign that is for a gathering or a rally of some sort, or somebody's coming to town, or there's a school board meeting or there's a city council meeting, take your children to those. Expose them to what it looks like to be civic minded, to be engaged in the process. Chris, what is happening to our kids' future? Like you were talking about your son and the anxiety that he feels of, what is my future going to look like? It's so uncertain. Well, it is only uncertain until the next election. So if you don't like it, you can get involved. You can write a letter. You can make a phone call. You can go volunteer for a candidate or for a cause that you are passionate about. You can make your voice heard. One thing we know, Chris, this generation of young people wants to be seen and heard. They've been told to sit down and shut up for far too long. And they're like, no, I'm not. I'm done with that. I will say something. And maybe they're afraid of being canceled, which many are. We are seeing left and right people losing their jobs. That does not mean they can't throw their support, even quietly, support behind somebody through a contribution or through writing letters or answering a phone bank. There are ways they can be involved without having to be the public face of something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Connie. I love how you said take your kid to a school board meeting because civics are not being taught really in most high schools and middle schools around the country and even in colleges. So you have a generation of young people who don't really understand how the government process works and even most adults. No, I would definitely encourage you. I mean, I'm not telling you, you don't have to be radical. You don't have to say anything. But every one of us as parents should take our kids to a county commission meeting, our school board meeting, a city council meeting, and just sit and watch and see how it works so your kids understand how the process works. Because it really, you can have, I've served as a local elected official for many years, and when someone shows up, you're going to pay attention, and they don't have to, you don't have to be wild and crazy and angry when you show up at a meeting. Just the fact that you show up, because hardly nobody does, is going to get that elected official's attention when you show up. And your elected officials are just people. Go ahead.
No, you're right. What you just said, people don't show up. And when you show up, whether you're the shy, quiet, introverted type, the fact that they see you, somebody's probably already trying to figure out, are you for them or against them? And you know what else happens? Our kids learn behavior and decorum. How do these people behave? Do they treat each other with civility? Do they show respect and respect for, which frankly is lacking right now, and that's decorum. We're so divisive and pitted against one another. But our children, all listeners, your children can be the game changer. And you can have a text message thread, which is what our family has, where we're sharing, hey, did you read this? Some of my kids get their news from TikTok. They follow people that are political on TikTok or on WhatsApp or what's on Snapchat or all the different social means out there. They're staying aware. They're staying engaged. Some are more quiet than others. But Chris, like you know, because you've held public office before, sometimes you can win by a handful of votes, a handful, because people aren't listening. But your kids, you can help them learn about a candidate, about a judge, about a city commissioner or a city planner. How are they using the money for your city? Are they using it wise? Are they being responsible? I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I have to live within a budget. I don't have unlimited funds. Our kids can see the difference between life a few years ago and life now. We weren't worried about gas prices or bacon shortages. We weren't worried about those things. We were planning vacations. We were opening businesses. We were socking away money. And now everything's radically changed. These don't even have to be hot, contested conversations with our home. We teach them how to have these conversations, and we teach them that your voice matters. And if you tell a friend or two, if you just say, hey, would you consider, we don't have to be in their face, just you can be kind and gracious. You know, I heard this about that candidate. Would you consider doing some research about them? I'd love to know what your thoughts are. All of a sudden, you're inviting somebody else without being in their face to think about something and how it's going to impact their bottom line. Most of the time, Chris, people are just concerned about their money, their job, their livelihood. They're not really thinking about yours. But if you invite them into the conversation and they realize that, ooh, everything we do impacts everybody else, oh, now all of a sudden, this is applied elections. This is that true elections have consequences, good or bad. And we can teach our kids how to have a positive impact just by something as simple as showing up and listening.
We really can. And, you know, maybe we need to do a show on that sometime of just, again, not talking about a political candidate, a particular candidate or party, just how can we teach our children to be engaged in the process? And this election year is so important, and we can discuss that with our kids just by looking at the economy that we've been talking about today. And there are things you can do. I know some people are in some jobs like military and others where, you know, they got to be careful. They can't be seen being involved publicly. But like you said, Connie, we can all write a check. Even And I know it sounds crazy, y'all, but even $5 or $10 makes a difference. So your kids could mow grass or do a lemonade stand, particularly on local races. That little bit of money makes a huge difference. Another thing that you can do, and we're about out of time here, but as you know, and you may hate them, okay, but they do have a purpose. Political signs are something that have to be put up. Well, that's something that you can do in the middle of the night. Nobody would even know, you know, that you and your kids, I used to, my kids probably hated it, but I would make my kids go out with me to both for my campaign and for other candidates as well, put up yard signs in the middle of the night. And, you know, so people wake up the next morning and there's a sea of Chris Hughes signs all over the place. But that's something you can do anonymously, and nobody, you know, particularly if you do it in the middle of the night, nobody knows you're doing it. And then that time in the car, I'm teaching the kids the importance of the election process. So we're out of time today, Connie. If time flies by when I'm talking to you, but this has been a great conversation today about how we need to get our kids talking about the economy, but not stress them out. Teach them how to budget money and then engage in the process. Connie, I appreciate you so much. And our whole audience is praying for your grandbaby and for you and Tom and your kids, and just excited about what God is doing in and through you. Can't wait to talk to you again next Friday.
Thanks for having me, Chris. See you next week.
Thanks. Have a great week, y'all. Now let's go get out, get involved, teach our kids about the economy, and let's impact the culture for Jesus.
Thank you for listening. The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Learn more about impacting the culture for Jesus.
Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com.
This is the Truth Network.